This is CICK News. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Dan Messick. Each week, we provide an update about events and issues developing right across Northwest BC. CICK Smithers Community Radio is on the dial at 93.9 FM, or you can listen online at smithersradio.com or subscribe to our podcast. CICK News broadcasts from unceded Ginamden Territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Hobie! The Niska New Year has arrived. After a two-year hiatus due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the Niska Nation celebrated Hobie once more, bringing together all the communities in the Nass Valley to celebrate the arrival of the crescent moon and look towards the stars in hopes of a bountiful harvest season. Although it was a much smaller celebration than years past, it was a welcome sight to see Niskan members and dance groups descend on the community of Gitwansilk for the first Hobie celebration in 2 years. Today on CICK News, we dive into what Hobie means to the Niska people, the songs and the history, and the hopes for the coming year. Hobie!
My name is Michael Moore. I'm in Gitwansilk, BC. I guess the third village up from the coast in the Nass Valley.
Great, Michael. Thanks so much for being with us. I was just there a few days ago, along with you and many other Niska, at the first Hobie in 2 years. Maybe tell me a little bit about the event and how it went.
It was kind of a whirlwind event. It was something we had to try and plan and hopefully get off the ground, only due to the fact that we were waiting and inconsistently checking up with the provincial guidelines to see if we could actually host the event. We originally had planned this, like we were supposed to host the event back in 2020, I believe. And it was one of those things that just kept getting pushed back. And it was one of those, we just kept pushing to try and get it done, or we're trying to make arrangements to have it done even in a smaller capacity, per se. Like, so we ended up having questions on whether we could just do our own group and do performances for a live recording, but it just didn't seem right at any point in time, so we had to continually push it back and delay. And as we were hearing the lifting of all of the restrictions, we started thinking that we could pull it off this year and just move forward and give our communities, our people, something to look forward to and celebrate, because as part of our culture, that's one of the things everybody looked forward to, just to celebrate the event, which to us is our Nishkap New Year, coincides with the Lunar New Year, which is similar to, I think it's the Chinese who follow that the same New Year date that we have. So it's one of those things that we've always done it, and we've always tried to move forward with it every year. And the past couple of years has been almost frustrating for our nation and our people to watch as the time goes by and nobody's capable of doing it, or nobody's allowed to do it, just because of the restrictions and COVID. And it was a tough thing to go through. So we all had to kind of do things to the best of our abilities. And as time came closer, we started getting whispers of the restrictions being lifted just in time for us to actually host it. And so we kind of acted quickly and just tried to get it off the ground as quick as possible with just the four communities, because normally we would have hosted multiple communities. Like we've had communities come from as far away as Metlakatla, Alaska, and I think we've had people host or come in from Port Simpson, different communities, and come and just take part in the OBA celebration that we have. And this year, we just decided to move forward with just the four communities and just give us something to look forward to and continue to look forward to after this year.
Yeah, for sure. I know a lot of people mentioned that, you know, this time around was Hobie Light, so to speak. It was a little bit smaller, but it was pretty loud in there and a lot of dancers. Maybe tell me a little bit about the groups that did show up. I know you mentioned that they were just the four communities in Nisga territory, but maybe tell me who they are and the dance groups that came to celebrate.
We've had, of course, our own community, which is the Four Crest Dancers. The small community of Kidwin Sessions, like we always like to kind of enjoy different community groups come along and join us. Like, and it's always been that way from the start. We've had groups with Lough Gulzap, just downriver from us, and they're a powerful group. Everybody kind of enjoys when they come out. It's a very big thing when they come out. It's like you can tell the difference between the groups and the performances. And we're grateful to have them join us, as well as Gillick Dynamics and Gingold. Each group kind of has their own specific sound. It's like, and if you listen to all of them, it's like several times over, and I know there's recordings out there, you can actually tell the difference between each group when you hear them sing. Even though some groups actually sing the same songs, you'll hear the difference between them. And that was kind of very evident. And like, a lot of people were taken aback by the fact that we were going to go forward with Hobie this year. And I know some groups, even including ours, didn't have as many practices as they would like. Normally, this is kind of like almost like a big venue thing where we have a lot of people that will practice for weeks and weeks on end before they actually get to Hobie, just to make sure that they're on point with whatever they want to present for Hobie. And this year was kind of you know, it's like it's going to be a flash in the pan. We're going to get this done. We're going to get some people involved and hopefully enjoy it. And that was kind of the big goal for us, was just, you know, hey, we're going to start it off. It's not going to be huge. It's not going to be something that we're going to look at and say was our best year, but we're going to look at it as, you know, hey, it might be the best start, just because we need to start over again. Because this for us was the 30th anniversary of our OBA celebration. So 30 years doing this celebration itself, it kind of got so big that we were planning 2.5 days eventually. It's like where they would have dance groups come from all over the place, and we would be performing from 9 a.m. up until 12 at night, and then getting ready to do it the very next day. So this year, having the very base groups that we started with to kind of restart the whole celebration, it's kind of seemed fitting, almost like a new beginning, hopefully. And the theme behind our start was in our language, we said Luan's God, and that one is kind of it means happy heart. And so just kind of bring everybody out of this pandemic in possibly the best way we could with our people locally, and not make it so big that everybody was kind of scared to enjoy it.
No, it looked like, you know, people were enjoying a great time. Everyone, I know, especially at the end, were on their feet. And clearly the celebration, as you mentioned, many mentioned the same thing to me, that although it wasn't as big as it usually is, it was great to just have it done and be out and reconnect. But going forward from here, you know, hoping for a good harvest this season coming, you know, what happens next? Where do you go from here? And what are you planning for next in these communities with Hobie?
With Hobie, like now that it's kind of concluded within our community, it's more along the lines of we're going to plan for another community. The next community will be Lough Gulzap. They're the ones that kind of, what happens is, like, every year at the end of all of the celebrations, it gets moved on to the next community to take over. So they'll start planning and hopefully get something up and going and get ready for the next celebration. But for the groups themselves, I know that we all get invited to different venues regularly. I know for the Four Crests, we've been invited to kind of commemorate another coal raising. I'm not exactly sure where. We still have to have a meeting on that. And then I know that our info center, which is out by the... There's a campground we have on the lava beds there, the Better Campground. There's an info center there that just got the painting done in the front, so we're going to have to go and get ready to bless that sometime in July. So it's continual. I mean, we've had invites to go to a powwow in Alberta. We've had invites to go to the museum and bless a boat that was built on Nisga territories. It's called Nisga Girl. And that was in the... I can't remember the name of the museum. Somebody's going to poke me in the eye for that one. But it was something we're going to have to... We always get invited for some things just because we carry our culture so strongly within our groups. And that's all groups that we have up here, which we're grateful for. And that's something that I absolutely love looking forward to every year, is just every group has their own specific songs. This year, because it was so quick, we didn't actually perform the songs that we normally would have, which would have been storytelling songs, which almost looks like a theater show if you were to show up for one of those. And it goes like that within each community. So Lakhal Dap, they'll tell a different story than what we have. And Dingal, they'll tell a different story from what any other community has. And that, all of that kind of moves forward through each community. We like to present those stories in full capacity, because Giving 50 is kind of almost right on the lava bed. So it's like we tell the story of when the volcano erupted, really. So it's one of our traditional stories that gets told when we host.
I guess, Michael, just the last thing, you know, obviously Hobie is the Nisga New Year, as you mentioned, but when it comes down to it, what does Hobie mean for the Nisga people?
It means a lot of different things to different people. The biggest thing is that we're looking forward to a bountiful harvest, as you mentioned. It was something that we paid attention to the stars just as well as any good sailor would. Stars, the weather, the seasons, everything played their role. Now, for us, as soon as we saw that moon, the crescent moon with the star above, a lot of that kind of dictated whether we were going to have a good season in regards to fishing, hunting, gathering, all of that stuff. It was just something that our elders and our people really paid attention to. And it was amazing that we had all of that information just from looking at the sky, from understanding the weather, understanding the seasons. But that's something that we celebrate consistently now, and it's something that's always kind of passed along in our oral history, just so that we can hear each, and it's like it gets passed along, it's like to my kids, and then my kids pass it on to their kids, and that's how we learned, really. And that's, again, no real written history until recently. A lot of it was... the only written history was when we had these almost pentagrams. It was like they're carvings in rocks, and even then they're just markers more than stories themselves. But a lot of our history is in carvings with totem poles and paintings. All of those things are passed along. Majority of it, though, is done orally. Because I remember being as young as 5, 6 years old and being told stories by my grandfather, and he's a very big historian and artist himself, and I have heard more stories than I can remember in regards to our culture, just because I started hearing them when I was very young, and it's something that I appreciate now as I get older, and I keep trying to hand these stories on to my kids and to all of my nieces and nephews that I have around on a constant basis up here, especially being as close as we are.
Well, Michael, I'll leave it there for now. But thanks so much for welcoming us into the Nisga territory and such a wonderful Hobie. I was very grateful and honored that I could witness that for the first time. So I'll definitely be back in the future. But thanks so much for your insight and sharing some of your stories.
Thank you very much. Thanks for attending. And anyone is welcome to join as long as there's no COVID restrictions, of course. But yeah, it's like it's one thing that we really love to share up here. It's our culture.
I'm Matthew Bright. I'm from Lough Falta. Hobie is the most exciting time of the year for us as Nishka people. It's the beginning of our harvest year. In a nutshell, it's been said in the past, our very survival was the beginning of Hobie. After a long winter, Hobie ensured our survival for the next year, and so on, so on. Hobie, it started, it's with the moon. It is said if the moon is upright in a crest form and there's a star on top, that's a good indication of what the harvest season is going to be for the following year. If there's no star, then we're in for a challenge. So it's a big indicator. It's a Lunar New Year, the first moon of every year. It's our heritage, our history. It's who we are as a people. Whenever we bring them to our dances, we need our audiences to feel it. We need them to know our stories. Some of them are emotional, but most of them are happiness. And that's what we intend to do in our performance. It was a big relief after the long, long 2 years. We lost some people to COVID. We had hundreds of our people that were infected by COVID, currently still are, on Nishka lands and off Nishka lands. So it hit home. By getting through it, you know, we were happy. The people, the Nishka people are a gathering people. We do things together all the time. And we always invite our neighbors, no matter who they are. We invite them in to help us celebrate. We welcome them.
What's your name?
Christine Smith Martin.
Where are you from?
Originally Loch Balam's in Haida Gwaii. I live in Vancouver and part-time here up in the beautiful Naas Valley.
So we're back at Hobie, the first one in 2 years. How does it feel to be back into it?
Oh, it was amazing. I think the first day was a little bit tiring, only because it's been 2 years since I danced. But it was amazing because, everybody's a little bit scared, which is so natural, right? It's going to take us a while to get back into the swing of things. But I think day two, everyone felt the spirit back. Yeah. And I can't even explain to how people felt by not having their culture for 2 years. This is a wonderful event.
What do you love about Hobie? There's so much energy, and you know, just at the end here, everyone's circling around the crescent moon. You know, it just looks like family as well, like just finally back together. What's your favorite part about Hobie?
Yeah, I think it's seeing the elders and watching the children dance and the chiefs come in, all of, and the communities, the pride that each of the dance groups have, and different songs based on different pieces. So I think it's going to be an amazing, amazing event next year and every year. Like every community should have this because it's so wonderful.
I guess just the last thing, what does Hobie mean to you? What does it mean now that Hobie has happened?
Well, as far as I understand, Hobie is very much tied to the season coming up, right? It's a harvest season, so we're all getting ready, whether it's ulican, salmon. We really want to make sure that we're getting ready for the new harvest season, so that's what it means to me.
Great.
My name is Bill Moore, and I come from the village of Greenville, Lough Falta. My chief name is Samagit Doot, the wolf tribe.
Bill, maybe tell me a little about how many Hobies have you been to?
I've been at every one of them since they started. It was revived approximately 30 years ago. If you dig into history, you will find that the Department of Indian Affairs made it, well, they legislated some of our activities out of existence, stating that if we continue to practice, do our cultural practices, that we could be arrested. And so this celebration was, it went underground for a period and it gradually petered out. And it was revived again about 30 years ago.
You know, in that context as well, but just in general, what does it mean to the Niska? What does Hobie mean to the Niska?
Well, first of all, it's a part of our culture. It's a cultural celebration. And that after a long, cold winter, this time of the year when the first resource arrives in the river, we call it, that's our new year. That signifies the start of our new year. In reality, it's a new season of harvest. It's following the hurricane would be the salmon and everything else, all the other resources. And our people studied the stars and the moon throughout time, as far back as they can remember. And from the movements of the stars and the moon and everything else, they were able to pretty well predict how the year would, the coming year would be as far as the availability of resources. So one of the signs that they look for is when the crescent moon is in an upward position with a star in there, they say it looks like a spoon, which in their language is hobby. So and when that occurs, then it signals to them that it's going to be a bountiful year. So they say hobie. So hobie is in hope that this coming year would be bountiful. The Ulikin trade was the mainstay of our economy in this part of the world prior to contact. I guess you could say that it is just as important as the olive oil trade in the Middle East. There are many written accounts of people coming to the Nass to participate in the fishery. There's one of note, and it was announced here in 1832, the manager at the Hudson's Bay Post at Fort Simpson was roused from his sleep early one morning, late January 1832, and he was shocked to see 760 canoes coming into the harbor to wait for favorable weather to make their way to the Nass. So can you imagine 760 canoes? And these are the ocean, they're not small little toy canoes that you paddle around in the lake. These are ocean-going canoes. The shortest ones probably be about 30 feet, then they go up to 60 feet, 80 feet. And they will hold tons and tons of trade goods. So they would come up to the from the coast with trade goods and hoping to participate in the fishery. And then the east of us, they would come on the grease trail. Now, if you dig into history, you will find that all transportation routes in British Columbia were once grease trails. And so the trade, the Ulikin trade, spread out throughout the whole province from here. So it's pretty significant.
And same ways with the, I know I've spent some time up in Tahltan country, and they discovered the obsidian, and that same ways was traded all over, you know, exactly. the continent, right? Yeah. And the, you know, I worked on a project where we identified where it went, and even down to New Mexico. You know, because of the high grade, right? And it just showed the value of this land. You know, what got me at the end here, when everyone carries out the crescent moon, explain that to me. What happens next? Now that Hobie, we're celebrated Hobie, we're looking for the harvest. What comes next?
Exactly that, the harvest. Our people moved down to the fishing camp, and I believe there are some there now. And they await the arrival of the Ulikins and do their fishing. And once the fishing is done and it's processed, the oil is rendered. A lot of it is, the oil is rendered. Some of it is smoked in smokehouses. Some is strung on cedar bark, string, and put on racks to sun dry. And that's how it's preserved. And that's used for trade and for their own use.
I was down at a couple of the fish camps today, and it was, again, this is just jovial excitement, you know, and there wasn't a whole lot of Ulikin today, but you know, everyone knows that when the tide comes in, there'll be lots of Ulikin maybe next week, and you know, you can feel the energy. What's your favorite part of Hobie?
I think my favorite part of the Hobie is that we use it to teach our younger generations. See, from our community group, there's two or three of us that compose all the songs that we do. All of those songs are based on our mythology. They're based on significant historical events that our people have lived through. And of course, the songs, some of them we can't sing publicly. But it's a time of celebration. It's a time of celebration. People come together and they sing their songs and dance. Free food, you know, sing and dance, get your fill, and everybody is, especially now that the pandemic is almost over. Like, there were a lot of people that were really, really concerned that the pandemic would drag on so long that we would start to forget things, start to miss things. So we're thankful that, hopefully, we're thankful and hopeful that it would go away forever.
Same here. Well, Bill, thank you so much for your time and your insight. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hobie.
Hobie.
Listening to CICK News coverage of Hobie 2022. Thanks for listening, and thanks to the Nisga Nation and all of our guests. Hobie! You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com. or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.